So we love Wilderness Lodge at Disney. We love the fake replica Wilderness Lodge at Disney. And so my whole life I wanted to go to like the real Old Faithful Lodge. And we actually looked to stay here. Couldn't get a room with a bathroom. They actually had rooms open with no bathrooms.
I don't share bathrooms.
I was a little, I'm not doing that. So we couldn't get a room at the Old Faithful Lodge. But I was like, oh my God, I want to see the Old Faithful Lodge. It's so legendary. It's so amazing. It's so beautiful. I got to go in there and look. We all went in there and looked and we were like...
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the 12-episode fall season of the RV Atlas.
This is like episode 2000.
It's like, we crossed 700 podcast episodes.
Yeah, we stopped numbering them a long time ago, but yeah.
Is it like birthdays?
Yeah, you stop keeping track.
It's been a lot of podcasts.
It gets too big and it looks a little bit weird at the beginning.
Episode 797. Yeah.
So who knows? But it is the second episode.
But you know what
keeps
the content fresh?
What?
Great trips to great places.
It's true.
It's true. So this is episode 2. We're doing a 4-episode suite, if I could call it that, on our big trip out west. Episode 1 was on Under Canvas Yellowstone. We did that last week, and that's Under Canvas Yellowstone right outside or in West Yellowstone.
No, it's in West Yellowstone address-wise, right. Yeah.
Address-wise.
Not downtown, obviously.
Not downtown, but not far from downtown. Mm-hmm. Now, this episode, we are going to walk through 3 days in Yellowstone with kids, and we packed it all in. I mean, we didn't pack it all in, but we packed in a great introduction to the park. Then we'll come back next week. We'll talk about our 2 nights in Cody, which was like, felt like 7 days. We did so much cool stuff. And then we'll wrap up episode 4 with our really amazing trip to Grand Teton National Park and a day spent in Jackson Hole. But today... 3 days in Yellowstone National Park with kids, and they were 3 days I will remember for the rest of my life.
And I think they will too. So just a reminder, here's the trip real quick. We flew into Jackson Hole Airport. We rented a car. We drove up to West Yellowstone that night, which was 2.5 hours to stay at Under Canvas.
Easy driving.
Stayed 3 nights at Under Canvas in West Yellowstone. Then we crossed over to Cody and stayed 2 nights in Cody. And then we went south and we stayed 2 nights in Coulter Bay Village and Grand Teton National Park. And then we flew back out of Jackson Hole Airport. If there's many of you out in our Facebook group that are planning a trip like this, everybody was talking about, you know, because there's different places you can fly in when you're visiting Yellowstone, right? And we had to make the choice. I would say there's lots of different reasons for everybody's choices, but this was a fantastic loop itinerary.
It worked so well. Like, I mean, yeah, I guess you could fly into Bozeman.
Yeah, no, that you can go north. Yeah. Or you could fly into
Cody.
Some people fly into Utah and like kind of combine that,
Jackson
you know.
Jackson Hole was easy peasy to fly into. And a little trivia fact, the Jackson Hole Airport is in Grand Teton National Park.
Yep,
it is inside the park.
It's inside the park.
It wasn't originally, but they took over additional land, and then all of a sudden the airport was inside the park.
So it had originally been 14 days of that same loop, and we reduced it to 7 days, contracted the places we were staying at, and it was still amazing. You can listen to our episode on Under Canvas to hear all about that. But then there's also other places that people have recommended on our podcast over the years that they've stayed in for Yellowstone. So we'll link to a couple of those other options, like the West Grizzly RV Park.
It was called West Grizzly, which is a reason why we didn't stay there, actually. And I don't think you're remembering, but the cabins only slept 4.
Yeah.
Because Carrie Cox loved it.
Yeah, we did.
Other
try
people
to.
Love it.
I think we even called to make
did.
We were like, can we
they
say
have,
no?
They have nice cabins mm-hmm. in a great location, but they will not take five people.
No.
And I ain't renting two cabins. I'll go to Under Canvas.
Yeah. So we've covered other Yellowstone base camps. So we can link to those in the show notes. But also go back and listen to that Under Canvas if you're not traveling with your RV. All right. So before we dive
can
in.
Can I just, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I know. She always
you says, are unbelievable.
I wanted to say this in the last episode. There were people traveling by RV staying at Under Canvas.
Oh, yeah.
There were a bunch of Class B motorhomes in the parking lot of Under Canvas. So people were taking their Class Bs all over the place and then saying, hey, let's go get that Under Canvas experience for a couple nights.
It's an experience. It's not just a place to stay. That sounds like it
sounds like
be
an
marketing
ad,
material,
and we paid through the nose to stay there.
But
just so everybody knows,
it is not marketing material. Okay, so we are going to talk all about the park, but first, before we dive into that, we want to share a message from our friends at Go RVing.
Go RVing's newly designed website, GoRVing.com, is packed with all of the information you need to get started and go RVing. Check out Go RVing's Get Started tab to find information from real RVers about buying an RV, renting an RV, finding a campground, and a comprehensive first-timer's toolkit. The Buying an RV section includes a complete guide to buying a new RV and tips for visiting national parks. The Renting an RV section explores your options for trying before buying. The Finding a Campground section lets you search campgrounds by state. The First-Timer's Toolkit is a robust set of blog posts and how-to videos that will turn you into an expert RVer in no time at all. Go RVing's Get Started tab is packed with the content you need to become a more experienced RVer and have fun doing it. And this is just a small sample of the content you will find there. To find out more, head on over to GoRVing.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's talk about the park and the plan. And Stephanie, look, you have planned our national park trips like way more than I have. Like I plan a lot of the RV trips. I pick the campgrounds, but when it comes to these types of big national park trips, like you are a ninja.
Well, because you don't get too lost in the details. You end up like reading these books and like hanging on to these weird little things that you find in weird little places.
If it was up to me, we would have gone wolf watching for 3 days.
You would take us off on like everything's an Easter egg for you.
I
heard about this.
3 days in Yellowstone. Let's do a 10 mile hike on day one.
It would be like if we went to Disney and all you did was search for hidden Mickeys.
But you're Yellowstone has a lot of hidden Mickey. No, but you're. I think what you're incredibly good at is packing in a lot in a short amount of time without exhausting all of us. And I don't know how you do it, but you do it.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate that because I usually tend not to be like a go from one thing to the next when we do these trips. And I think that that's part of why we have fun. But Yellowstone's a particular challenge. And when you see a lot of people say, oh, okay, what can I do in this? And you'll see people in the Facebook groups like, you'll never be able to see Yellowstone in this many days. And I have to say that we went in very aware that we were going to have limited time. And I kept saying, look, we may not be able to see everything. That's okay. I don't want to go crazy trying. Like you kept saying to me, like, what's the game plan for day one, two, and three? And I would say, well, it's flexible because it depends on how much we see on day one. Because I was like, I had a feeling I knew how we could do it. But you know what? I wasn't going to like push an itinerary because if there was crowds, that was another thing that we were very prepared for, all of the national park crowds, and we were going to one of the most popular. So I was very prepared to kind of have to wait for parking in places and, you know, wait in line to get into the park and everything. So we went in with the attitude of luck. We're not going to get stressed. We're not going to be like checking off a list of things to see. We're going to enjoy this magnificent place, see what we see. And at the end of the day, we can come back.
can we talk crowds or do you have that somewhere else? I don't want to circumnavigate your notes here.
No, I mean, the thing was, is that it ended up being an amazingly uncrowded experience.
I'm just going to say it. It wasn't crowded.
Yeah.
It wasn't crowded. I mean, we went the absolute last day of summer break for the last week mm-hmm. of summer break for us here in New Jersey
because
our kids start after Labor
Day. Yeah.
So if you are in parts of the country that do not start school till after Labor Day, taking that big national park trip in the last even maybe 2 weeks of summer is an amazing time to go, because Yellowstone National Park, after reading 500 stories about how incredibly crowded it was, we were blessed with very light crowds.
I have to say, we did follow our early morning. We weren't like there at the crack of dawn, but we were in early, and we did zip through the gates, whereas later on you would see a backup very far. We were also there during the week. So we, on the flip side, the next week we were driving out of Grand Teton National Park on a Saturday to get to the airport. And do you remember the line of cars waiting to get in? I was like, oh, that's a Saturday. So the difference between the Saturday crowds and the Tuesday crowds was huge. And then I think that sometimes there's two things that happen with a Yellowstone trip. Like, Yellowstone is arranged around two big loops, right? Like the lower loop and the upper loop. And I think the sheer scale of things can be really overwhelming to people. And so, like, two things happen. Like, they get overwhelmed when planning the trip, or the opposite, they don't realize the scale of it and don't realize like how difficult it's going to be to navigate the whole thing.
There are many hours in the car.
Yes.
And they were enjoyable. I mean, you're in Yellowstone. It's beautiful. You're not on some ugly highway going from one place to another. I mean, the drive is part of the pleasure and part of the fun.
Yeah. But when we were leaving the park, do you remember the difference? Like, in the afternoon, like, people were lined up to get into the parking lots and
also,
stuff.
Also, it was
and not
a
in
beautiful,
the morning.
Clear day.
Yeah.
And there had been some,
haze. Yeah. Well, the fires. The stories of those.
A lot of people did ask us about the haze. So we had some days where there was definitely, you know, poor air quality.
We had wonderful, we were very lucky with air quality in Yellowstone. Do you remember?
It had
a front had come in and really cleared the air while we were in Yellowstone. And then what happened was the Tahoe fire kicked into high gear. And a wind, you know, came through that brought another round of smoke through the atmosphere. And so by the time we were in Grand Teton,
it was not good.
My eyes were, I struggled.
And that
there.
Was, you know, look, it was such an amazing trip. I think all of us didn't want to be disappointed in that. And plus, it's like a tragedy and it's, you know, whatever. I'm not going to feel bad for my little vacation.
My view when people are in fires. Yeah.
But thank God our last day in Grand Teton National Park, it totally cleared up. And then the hike we took also, the skies were great too. So I mean, we had clear skies at times and we had hazy skies at times.
But amazing weather all over the place. And we really enjoyed it. So our general plan for day one, okay, I figured let's go to the most popular part of the park, day one, because I figured I don't know how much we're going to be able to see, right? I don't know what the crowds are going to be like. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get from one. So I said, let's do that day one, because then it may stretch into day two or whatever. But it didn't. We really explored that most popular areas. When you enter in at West Yellowstone, you head south on that lower loop. And that whole area is that famous geyser and basin area where all those iconic Yellowstone pictures are from, right? Like, so that's right there when you go in on the west side and you head down on that lower loop. And then you can wind up at Old Faithful down at the bottom of that lower loop.
And that's really the by far the busiest part of the whole park.
100%. So we went in probably, but not super early because we had gotten in late the night before. We had breakfast. So I think we went in probably about 9-ish or so and headed down. And let's just talk about the stops we made along the way. There's a lot of different stops you can do. I will say one thing that I think we did wrong. Not so much in this area, but we'll talk about it in the other days. It's sometimes I feel like because there's so many stops, right? Like you could just pull over and pull over. We like skipped some because you were thinking like, oh, but we're going to this one that we saw.
Are you thinking of anything like on the famous side or just?
No, but I just think that we could have stopped. Like I was worried, you know, I wanted to get to some of the more famous stops and make sure we could get parking before the day got too crowded. But honestly, we could have pulled off 10 more times enjoyed little walks off
and
the road.
We did have to make a couple hard decisions. Like, I really wanted to go to the Overlook for Grand Prismatic Springs.
Right.
But which is a little bit more complicated to get to and takes longer to get to. So we just did the walkway right at Grand Prismatic Springs.
Yeah, we had
Grand
already
Prismatic
done. But
Springs.
See, that's the thing with kids is we were stopping at a lot of places that day. We had already done the hike, which we'll talk about. And that's another, that was another like 2 mile or 3 mile hike. And
we
I was like,
didn't want to burn the kids out too.
And it was in the middle of the day. So remember, the temperatures were up in the 80s. And this is the area of Yellowstone. There's not a lot of shade and everything. So I was just like, that's not going to be a good thing.
I was just naughty and jumped to Grand Prismatic Springs. Yeah. But like this, for the start, we went to Fountain Paint Pots Trail. The
I love that.
Hike. That was awesome.
Busy,
how could you drive past
lots
it?
Lots of people.
It was awesome.
Okay. But it's a really fun boardwalk trail. And that's where the boys were like introduced to the reality of Yellowstone, right? These like boiling cauldrons.
Like if you yes. come off the path here yes. and step in there, you will melt.
Yeah.
So and like I'm not joking, way. Podcast listeners.
Yeah.
Like Yellowstone's dangerous.
It was a great way to kick off their Yellowstone experience. So that was a nice little boardwalk walk. And then there was Grand Prismatic Spring below that, which was phenomenal.
The most magnificent colors you'll ever see in your life. And there's a lot of great pictures that actually do it justice, but it's pretty amazing seeing it in person.
Every time I see an amazing place like this in person, I always think, you know, there's been a lot of places like this in my life where I think, oh, I've seen a million pictures of it. Is it going to be amazing? It always is. You know, I'm always like, I've seen a million pictures of the Grand Canyon.
400 pictures at Grand Prismatic Spring.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I took 400 pictures.
What are you going to do with them? I'm never going to see one.
The only other thing that came close was like 400 bison photos.
Yes.
But we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Then we went to the Biscuit Basin and then we hiked to Mystic Falls from there. That was a really nice stop. So the Biscuit Basin had a lot of little geysers, which were fun because they were going off, you know, and you're standing there and you could feel the mist and definitely the smell, right? So the boys are like, ew, because it's that sulfur smell. And then you go to the back and we actually went out and hiked to the Mystic Falls. And that was like maybe 2 miles total.
Two to three round trip. And you know, it's funny, like the falls, you could probably get up really close and personal to the falls,
They're fine.
The way we did the hike, we didn't get super close. It was nice out there at the falls.
We've done a lot of waterfalls.
It wasn't the most magnificent. I mean, Olympic National Park has better waterfall hikes, and so does the White Mountains in New Hampshire, to be honest with you.
The Smokies. Let's just start lifting.
I mean, this particular waterfall was not amazing, but the thing was, on the walk back, this is not a dangerous hot spring. This is a totally kosher place to dip your feet. I mean, the river there.
Yeah.
And I'm forgetting the name of the river, the Little Fire or something or other.
Oh, I think it's the Little Fire River.
Little River.
I don't know.
We're close. You can actually stop, kick your hiking shoes off, dip your feet in the water. One of my favorite pictures from the trip was here. And we just chilled there for a while and sort of got wet. And that made the whole hike worth it, almost more than the waterfall. That's all I wanted to say about that one.
Yeah. So then we went down to the Old Faithful Geyser. And so when we got there, great parking. Okay. We checked on the time that it was supposed to go off. And we realized we had some time for snacks and stuff. I have to say one of my great disappointments in the National Park Service when we were down there, and I think this summer in general, was that so much was still closed. And I really felt like at the end of August, like that was just like inexcusable. Like the visitor center, like the whole education center there was completely shut down. And that really upset me. Like the boys had spent this whole morning looking at geysers and basin. And you know what they had? Questions. And they're peppering me with questions. And I was like, guys, we'll go into the education center because those are always so good at showing them, oh, below the earth and what's happening. And the whole thing was shut down.
And it wasn't like some comprehensive COVID policy because there were plenty of other inside restaurants
and places
open that were, you know, on the crowded
side. It feels like lazy. It's like, no, come on. Have a certain amount of people.
Girlfriend
maybe have time.
Just called the NPS lazy. I'm kind of like, I feel you on this, but at
I
the same time, like the NPS.
Life
like,
is hard right now.
It is. But, it's hard for all of us. Like, but the NPS is like so sacred to me. But I mean, look, you're right.
No, they should have been doing timed entries or something. Do something so that I can bring my kids in and show them all of those.
It's almost like Disney getting rid of fast passes.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just frustrating. So I was actually more upset about that.
Well, and that was the Old Faithful one, for goodness sake. There were other visitor centers that were less interesting parts of the park that were open.
Yeah. Well, that was only one. And I was really glad that one, we'll talk about that later, but I was glad that was open because it was the only visitor center experience.
You're an educator at your core. And you want the boys to walk away having learned something. And yeah, I
feel
you.
I don't want to have to teach them everything. I'm not an expert on geysers.
But hang on a second. First of all, we parked no problem at Old Faithful.
I know.
I just want to say that. And I just want to flex and say we had no, we had like choice.
What do you, don't flex that.
100 parking
flex
spots.
Flex of the fact that we sat in a front row bench for Old Faithful. And that's another thing. How many times have you seen Old Faithful? Pictures, video, and you're sitting there and when you're going, when this goes off, is it going to be like, who cares? It was so much fun.
Old Faithful was
amazing.
Anybody
that says that this stuff, right? Oh, this is so touristy. Go off the beaten track. It's touristy because it's fun. It is fun. It honestly, when that thing finally went off, everybody was like, ooh, ah, it was so much fun. I loved it.
It was amazing. And actually, we watched it again, like a couple days later on our way back. We just pulled in again. Like, yep. It might not even be in the notes here, but we a second time went back. Sorry. So Old Faithful was a highlight. It was so cool.
And then,
but are we going to talk about the Old Faithful Lodge?
Oh, you can go. Yeah.
Super quick.
Go ahead.
So we love Wilderness Lodge at Disney.
We love the fake
Wilderness Lodge at Disney. And so my whole life I've wanted to go to like the real Old Faithful Lodge. And we actually looked to stay here. Couldn't get a room with a bathroom. They actually had rooms open with no bathrooms.
I don't share bathrooms.
I was a little, that. So we couldn't get a room at the Old Faithful Lodge, but I was like, oh my God, I want to see the Old Faithful Lodge. It's so legendary. It's so amazing. It's so beautiful. I got to go in there and look. We all went in there and looked and we were like, eh. Wilderness Lodge is so much
better. We'll stick
better.
To Wilderness Lodge.
It was very crowded.
So that was what we were thinking.
Lobby.
Let's be serious about our review here. Like, our real reaction was, wow, staying here would feel like you were staying at Grand Central.
It was so crowded.
In and out. And
the park wasn't crowded at this time.
Right. And like everybody was at the Old Faithful Lodge. And there's like the major, like there's like a major buffet there. And that's another thing. Oh, wait, you have buffets open, but you can't have the learning center open.
You can sneeze
open.
On your salad, but yeah, I can't go in the learning center. And you have to, and you
I'm aggravated.
During our time in Yellowstone, the NPS had fairly recently, I think, implemented the policy where you have to wear masks again inside. So to your point, the visitor center, the educational part was closed. But the policy was you had to wear masks.
Right. And you had so everybody could go in and gather in the lodge and in the restaurants, but definitely not the learning center.
Yeah, you get like a salad bar, like COVID and salad bars just don't go together for me.
Who would go to the buffet? I don't know.
So I don't know. Like, I mean, if somebody out there stayed at the Old Faithful Lodge and you had an amazing experience, like, please walk me back on this one and send me an email. But it's off my list of like bucket list places I want to stay.
Especially after in Glacier, when we went to the lodge.
Lake
McDonald.
Oh, amazing.
We were like, oh, we would love to stay here. So I think that we expected to have, and like Lake McDonald is like busy, but it wasn't this kind of busy.
Well, this is in the middle of a parking lot.
It
the
really
Lake McDonald
felt
Lodge
that.
And the Mini Glacier Hotel or the Mini Glacier Lodge, whatever they call it.
They're so beautiful.
They're in two of the most magnificently beautiful places on planet Earth. And then the Old Faithful Lodge feels like it's right smack in the middle of a parking lot.
It really did. It was definitely not the vibe that we expected.
And Yellowstone, I love you. Okay. NPS, I love you. But this was
so
just one thing that was like,
NPS today,
because
okay.
My expectations were so different. And it's just kind of funny that you like the Disney replica better than the real thing.
Yeah. So we, on our way back, then, so we stopped there. That was late in the day. On the way back, we went up and we actually did a little drive on Firehole Canyon Drive, which led out to a swimming hole that is very popular in the park.
Oh, you're going
to
nail me on this.
Well, this was another place. But I had told you. I wasn't going to talk about this. I was not going to talk. You just brought it up. I told you it was closed because it's another COVID casualty.
Why didn't
COVID
I believe
casualty.
You?
Oh, please.
I love swimming, and I don't know what it is. If there's a place to swim in a national park, like I want to, like,
hole.
I'm gonna swim.
If Jeremy's seen the
and I read in my
hole.
Stupid moon guide, oh, there's a one swimming hole in all of Yellowstone National Park, and it's amazing. And we drove down the drive, and it was closed
because I had read somewhere I knew that they shut it down. And again, it was this idea you don't want people gathering, and there's the bathhouse, they had set up these bathrooms there, whatever. Okay, so they shut it down. They say it's because of water levels, but I don't believe it.
Or it's dangerous or something. You know, I read in a couple books, like the NPS just is not into swimming. Like they just don't want. If you think about it, there's some kind of truth to that. Like Acadia National Park, there's a million bodies of water and there's like two places you can swim. And
come
on. Sand Beach is freezing cold. No, there's not a lot of places to officially
hiking
swim.
Hiking where bears live.
Well, they're fine with that. Like, the rangers are fine if you end up being a bear snack, but God forbid you swim.
Because
you might,
a
like a little
bizarre.
Kid might pee in the water and disturb the entire ecosystem. But it is something that throws me off about the NPS. Like they want you to go and be, you know, go out with nature and have this
but
amazing experience.
Water.
Just don't go swimming, kid.
All right. So we ended up driving back after that bust of a swimming hole search, and we had dinner at the Under Canvas restaurant, which was amazing dinner. So that was our day one,
and
it was
overpriced.
Really, it was really successful day one. We had seen that huge main popular part of the park. We were totally worn out, but it was good, and it was like it felt.
Stephanie, it was a perfect National Park Day.
It was. All right, so we're gonna come back and talk about day two, but first we have a message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford makes going places easy by manufacturing top RV maintenance and sanitation products, and they've been doing it since 1963. Thetford's Aquamax holding tank treatments neutralize odors and accelerate waste digestion to prevent clumping, clogging, and tank residue, all at the same time. The Aquamax family is bronopollen and formaldehyde free, so it's campground friendly and California compliant. It's also proudly made in the USA. Thetford's family of Aquamax holding tank treatments have been extensively researched and treated safe for all RV and marine toilets, holding tanks, and septic systems. Aquamax is available in liquid toss-ins and drive packets in 7 different sizes and in spring shower scent and summer cypress scent. To find out more, head on over to Thetford.com. All right, everybody, let's talk about our second day in Yellowstone National Park. The first day was sort of a perfect National Park day to me because we got so much done and it was so many of the famous locations. The second day was pretty awesome too. So guide us through what you selected for us to do on the second day in Yellowstone National Park with
All
three
right.
kids.
So we entered in the park again on the West Yellowstone Gate, of course. And this time we went north instead of south, right? So the idea was to go north, but we're still staying on that lower loop. We weren't going to the top loop, the upper loop. We're staying on the lower loop, but we're crossing. It's like a figure eight, you know, and we're going to cross that middle road and go over to the east side of the park where that Grand Canyon of Yellowstone is. All right. So that was the general plan for day two. We definitely wanted to go and see the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. All right. So when we went in, we actually stopped on our way up at Gibbons Falls, which wasn't a planned stop, but it was waterfalls.
It was really pretty, and it's like a
you got pictures.
Look, it's if
are
I
we
went
down on Yellowstone waterfalls, it feels like we
you know
are.
What? And you know, it's funny you say that. We are.
We're a little down on them. But
we are,
okay.
And I think part of the problem is we've gone to Olympic, and once you've gone to Olympic and seen waterfalls, and frankly, once you've gone to New Hampshire
and seen
waterfalls,
and not just Olympic, the Redwoods. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the Redwoods, remember what's that canyon that you walk in and
oh,
the waterfall?
Fern Canyon.
Fern Canyon. Like those
I wouldn't really call that a waterfall.
It is too when you go to the back and there's a – don't look at me like that. There's a lot of different kinds of waterfalls that are really dreamy and beautiful.
I did we're down on a couple of Yellowstone things, which like
– We didn't expect
let's
that.
Get, let's get
okay,
back
let's
up
get
on
up.
Things
okay.
because it was – amazing. Okay, that waterfall itself, that Gibbon waterfall.
Okay, so stop there, take a picture.
It was fine for taking some pictures.
I went on a tour decades ago in a foreign country, international tour. And I went on this tour and we were on the bus. This is the only like bus tour I've ever been on in my life. And I was with this big group of people. And you would like stop and the tour guide, Jerry, would say at every single stop, get out, take a picture.
Why
and
is,
that phrase
why
just,
are so many tour guides named Jerry?
Jerry, get out, take a picture, get back
I
in.
Know why we're down on the waterfalls in Yellowstone. I just put it together because the one and this is on us maybe partly or maybe it's true, you can't get close to a lot of them.
No, right, they're very far in the distance. They're not
Grand Teton, the waterfall we
majesty.
Went to, like I'm dipping my feet in that waterfall. Like when I go to in like the White Mountains in New Hampshire, when you hike there, you end your hike or you know halfway in your hike, you're like kicking off
in
your hiking shoes and getting wet and then like swimming in the waterfall.
Oh, well, we did that in Grand Teton.
That's what I'm saying. Grand Teton. I'm not down on waterfalls in Grand Teton, but
true.
In Yellowstone, a lot of them are kind of far away. But that leads me to say this, and this is important. Yellowstone as many people have said before me, is not strictly really a hiking park.
No, I not kept like telling Glacier. You that. I was like, look.
It is a stop, pull over, it. And check things out.
Take a picture.
Take a picture. And then, like, I mean, that one hike we did was good. It was a good hike. But, Glacier's a hiking park.
Yeah.
Olympic National Park is a hiking park, man. Like, you go there to hike to magnificent places.
Well, you have to hike to get to see places. In Yellowstone, they're
off the road.
They're right there. Yeah. So, okay. So, we stopped at Gibbons Falls. And then we went through Canyon Village, which is a nice place to stop. If you want to look, the lodge there, we were, like, interested in checking out all the hotels and lodges. So, we kind of, like, drove through. Very nice, new lodge in Canyon Village that really looked almost like a little bit like modern and really rustic
in the grand scheme of the national park system. Yes. New meaning like 1979 or something.
No, I think refurbished it. Yeah. So, and it did really look nice if you're looking for a lodge to stay in. So then there's two drives for the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. There's the North Rim Drive and the South Rim Drive. And this is another place that I think we were a little bit like ridiculous about. We were worried about covering so much area in the park in such a short amount of time that sometimes I think we overthought it. Like, we thought we had to pick different views because there's so many views.
You're being really nice, not blaming me for this.
You were overwrought about this. You read every view and you were like this.
You're talking about the overlook for Grand Canyon of Yellowstone, which I decided to skip because I had several people tell me that when you get up and look over, you don't actually see that much.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
Can I just tell you something, guys? You can stop at every single overlook.
You can. I mean, if you're moderately healthy, there's a little hiking up and down.
If you're
a hiker or if your family is willing to do a little bit of up and down, you're right. Yeah. You can literally stop at every single point.
So we stopped at a few, not every one. But in the North Rim, there's the brink of the Lower Falls, Lookout Point, Grand View, and Inspiration Point.
Inspiration Point was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And we did it, and we did two or three of the main stops. And we did the one, hike all the way down.
I think that's Inspiration Point. Yeah. It was actually it's a bit of a legit hike down. And then like by the time you get back up, you're huffing.
Yeah, definitely. But it's like a mile total. No big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally doable.
Yeah.
Nothing too dramatic.
All right. You just have, if you have knee problems, you might want to do it. And then at the south, so then you do that North Rim to get the whole one side and all these different views. And I will say, I feel like the different views are different.
The Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. Yeah. Every overlook is like, like you're in a different place.
And but you're looking at the same thing. And lighting is different too, because of where the sun's hitting.
And what you see of the canyon.
And what you see of the water versus the canyon and everything. And so I really think it's worth it. It's something that I would do. I would have done differently is just do every stop on there because you get an amazing view. We did a few.
And look. Artist Point is the place to miss.
Okay, so that's the South Rim.
Okay.
So North Rim first, then we did the South Rim. And that's the Upper Falls View, Uncle Tom's Trail, which we stopped at to look at the view, but we were going to do the trail because you can actually take the trail to Artist Point. So we were thinking we'd stop there, we'd take the trail. Well, it was closed. And later on, I heard a ranger talking to someone and saying that trail, I think they were saying, who knows, I didn't fact check this, but that trail's closed down. Like it was something like 300 days out of 365 days for bear activity. They were saying it's closed all the time.
When the NPS is like shutting that puppy down for bear activity, I'm okay to move on.
Yeah. And then we went up to Artist Point. So North Rim, South Rim, I would say you could do both of those. Do the lookout, stop, do, hike out to the lookout, hike back. You could do both the North and the South Rim in a morning. 3 hours.
Day you could do if you're moving, somewhat quickly from, and if you're not battling for parking, by the way, which we were spoiled. We parked everywhere. But Artist Point, like let's stop for a second here.
Okay.
Like, it's so beautiful. It freezes you in your footsteps. It's awe-inspiring.
It's so funny. I felt like...
You felt underwhelmed because it's so far away?
The Grand View. No, I didn't feel underwhelmed. But on the other side, you remember the Grand View where it was like you felt like you were on the edge looking down? Like, that was the most amazing view to me.
Wow. You're picking that over Artist Point. Yeah.
It was unbelievable to me. I was like, this is phenomenal.
Artist Point was for all the things that were not crowded, Artist Point was kind of a bit crowded. Maybe
that's a take a picture spot because everybody wants the picture of Artist Point, right? Painted. Who is the painter?
Oh my God. That's like a famous painter and a famous painting. I mean, apparently that's what made this painter went out there in one of the early expeditions, and the people in the East saw the painting and they were like, okay, we got to make this a national park.
Has to be a national park.
I feel bad. I don't remember the guy's name.
Folklore. So
we'll put it in the show notes if we can.
Make up for it. All right. So then what we did was we left after the Southern Rim. We drove south through Hayden Valley at exactly the wrong time of day because Hayden Valley is a big wildlife place. And it was very hard for wildlife viewing for us timing it because Yellowstone is huge and it takes a long time to drive.
You have to leave
to the
at 3 in the morning.
And we just weren't willing to do it. So we ended up driving through Hayden Valley at like 1 in the afternoon.
And we saw one Mr. Bison.
Yeah. Well, we had already seen a lot of bison.
Like he was right up next to our car chilling. But I mean, we literally drove through Hayden Valley and saw one bison.
One.
I'm not going to look. I do think generally
it
was the middle of the day. But I also do think if you asked Yellowstone aficionados, they would say that Lamar Valley, hands down, always beats Hayden Valley for wildlife. I mean, I'm not the expert on that per se, but I just think if you want to see bison and wildlife, you need to go to Lamar Valley, which we will get to.
All right. So then we kept going south and we went to Yellowstone Lake. We toured, because we're curious, the Lake Yellowstone Hotel and Cabin area, which the hotel was, I felt like, the nicest out of all of the hotels that we looked at. And I think we looked at them all. We actually looked at them all.
A lot of them.
So I think that this was actually really nice.
It was really nice, but there were some issues there too. Like we were thinking of eating lunch there.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't.
No dinner.
Dinner.
Because it was like 3 in the afternoon.
And you went up and you said, well, can we see the menu? And she's like, well, we haven't printed it yet.
We haven't printed it yet.
And you were like, but what's for dinner today? And she's like, we don't know.
We don't know yet.
And it was like, okay.
When it comes out, we will put it here.
Now, I will say, all right, I feel bad saying anything about Yellowstone National Park. Like, I don't know that I would be dying to stay here. I don't know.
Oh, no, I wouldn't be dying to stay here. I just think it's nice because it's right on the water. We walked out. We walked down to the beach area, put our feet in the water. It was a very windy day. I know a lot of people love to go out on the boat. There's a marina nearby, so you can take out the boat tour and everything. But it was very windy and very choppy, so we wouldn't have done that day.
Okay, let me.
But it can be an area for that if you like.
I want to back up on that because literally somebody could be listening like, well, I was going to stay there. I want to stay there. I bet waking up there in the morning with the views of the lake is magnificent. I bet going to bed there at night with the view of the lake is magnificent.
I mean, I know where I would stay if I was staying in a lodge.
I don't know.
I do.
Tell me.
Well, we haven't talked about them all yet, so I don't want to say it.
Well, promise you don't forget.
I'll say it at the end. All right. So we kind of checked that out, and then we went down to West Thumb Geyser Basin. So again, we're like basically completing our lower loop, right? So the first day we did the whole one side, the whole west side of the lower loop, and this day we went across and down the east side of the lower loop. So West Thumb Geyser Basin was actually way more amazing than I expected.
It's really cool.
Because it's right up against the lake. So the steaming of like the water of the lake meeting the geysers that are coming out there and everything, that was a cool area.
It wasn't crowded. It was a beautiful place for photos. There was lots of different colors in the water. The lake itself was right there. I mean, to me, it was kind of a can't miss spot. Now, did we also hit Fishing Bridge right at this time? Like when we went to the Fishing Bridge General Store, they gave us free ice cream at the Fishing Bridge General Store, which completely mystified me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I think
they
were just like literally clearing out the ice cream for the entire season and they gave all of our kids free ice cream.
I totally forgot.
Well, you know
about
why you
that.
Forgot? Because we didn't go into, I mean, we drove over the Fishing Bridge.
We did
not drive into the campground per se.
Yes, she did give us free.
But the Fishing Bridge General Store, if you want souvenirs, that is one of the biggest and best places to go.
You did do some deep.
I know that's right by the Yellowstone Hotel, the lake hotel.
Yeah, right. It was just right above that. So we stopped there and then we went down to the hotel. I'd forgotten about that.
And look, the Fishing Bridge area, I think the campground is closed this summer and then it's reopening and they're renovating it.
Yeah.
That's a really central place for RVers staying in the park.
Yeah, it's a great campground to stay in. So then we actually went down and saw Old Faithful again since we were right there.
And
we
there
saw
was like nobody
again.
There.
Another front row seat. Wonderful. And then we went up and out the west side of the park and had barbecue at Firehole Barbecue, which
in
was
West Yellowstone. Awesome. It was amazing. It was a top five barbecue experience in the country for me. I don't know if you'd go that high with the ranking, but for me, it was awesome.
I don't know.
They were friendly.
That feels bold.
Okay, because we've been, you know what? We've been in the South.
Yeah.
I should back up on that
I'm like, I don't know. I should back up on that
one because our listeners in the South are like, this guy's a travel expert, huh?
It was yummy, though. But like,
it was the best darn barbecue in West Yellowstone.
Come on. Yes.
There's no doubt.
100%.
It was probably the best darn barbecue in Wyoming.
But like, right away, I'm just like, that or 12 Bones, like, to me, aren't even on the same.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay,
right. I just have to remind you of some other places.
All of our listeners in the South, I apologize. Because I just spoke nonsense.
I know.
I'm poor. On the show.
I know. All right.
But it was really good.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I said delish. So, all right. So anyway, I think that like in 2 days, we really did a lot on that whole lower loop. And it felt right. It didn't feel too rushed, too much. It was like, yeah, they were big, busy days in national parks, but they were amazing and they were wonderful and like breathtaking.
And not just that, but we did very intentionally want to get back to Under Canvas by like 7 o'clock or so to hang out and listen to live music. And we did. Like, I mean, we did.
Something that's very important to our family is having like
chill time
at night after busy days. It's like the only way
you recover for the next day. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to come back and talk about day 3 in Yellowstone National Park with our 3 kids. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at CampSpot. CampSpot is a free instant booking platform for camping across North America. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more, whether it's last minute or for your epic road trip months away. CampSpot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. CampSpot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and a lowest price guarantee so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Plus, you can save your favorite campground finds for future trips and keep all of your reservations organized in one place. No more digging through old emails to access those reservations. With CampSpot, they are always right at your fingertips. It is time to book those 2022 camping trips right now, believe it or not. To find your CampSpot, visit campspot.com today. All right, everybody, let's talk about day 3 of our trip to Yellowstone National Park. And this is the day we left for Cody. And there was a lot of debate about whether we would drive, and Stephanie, please correct me if I'm wrong about any of this. There was a lot of debate about whether we would drive straight through the park and go to Cody in a more direct fashion, or if we would get our wildlife viewing fix and go up through the upper loop through Lamar Valley, then drop down on Chief Joseph Highway and go to Cody that way. This was a critical decision. I believe that this was a critical decision in making this an amazing trip.
Yeah, because I was actually worried the Tower Road, you know, the canyon, it's like called Canyon to Tower or Tower to Canyon Road, that was closed. So I had this idea because I had talked to somebody and I was worried that if we did that upper loop, the drive then to Cody would be like hours more because we weren't able to drop down on that Tower
and then
Road.
We met that nice couple at Under Canvas.
So like I was like worried that I was going to get us into this pickle where we were going to be like hours from where we were ending up after a long day, blah, blah, blah. So we met a nice couple staying in a tent. And they were like, no, it's going to be fine. You do this way and you go along the upper loop and you go out that, the northeast entrance. And they were like, and then you're going to
pop up into Montana.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to, they were like, it's fine. It's a great drive. It's gorgeous. And I was like, perfect. So we did it. And it did make all the difference because it gave us that ability to do what we wanted to do, which was enjoy the park for a third whole day. So we went in and we went again the west entrance and we went all the way up to Mammoth Hot Springs area.
Which is a really cool area of the park.
I have to say, I'd be tempted to stay there. I liked that little village area.
I'm part of me surprised, but I get it.
Yeah. So in the Mammoth Hot Springs, right? So there's the Upper Terrace Drive. And then there's like a boardwalk there where you can look at all the Mammoth Hot Springs, super like alien planet kind of look to it up there, right? Then there's the Mammoth Hot Springs Hotel. There's historic Fort Yellowstone. That was the only open visitor center with educational displays.
And it was a good one.
And it was good. And we actually spent quite a while in there, the kids looking at all the wildlife too. And again, reminding themselves of all the differences between the different kinds of bears and everything, right? Like, that's what's so great about MPS sites is they give the kids that education to back up what they're seeing out there. It matters. Kids learn better when they have those graphics and those visuals that help them create the narrative of what they saw out in the wild.
And I got to spend time in the gift shop and buy a bunch of stuff.
I'm sure you did.
So you're saying you would stay at the Mammoth Hot Springs Hotel. Tell me why. And is part of the reason why is it's a great jumping off point for Lamoore Valley?
Well, part of the, yes, 100%. Part of the reason is I loved the feel of it up there. Didn't it feel like super isolated and wild?
Like an old Wild West little mini village city. It was like a total surprise out of nowhere.
It had this really cool, wild feeling.
Like, I could chill here for a while.
And I contrasted that with the feeling of Old Faithful area, you know, and
craziness, parking lot, busy, frantic. Blah, blah, blah.
It was like, ooh, this is the kind of area that I just feel like would let you feel a little more like you were in the middle of nowhere in Yellowstone National Park. And then, of course, it's right there near Lamoore Valley. So you're thinking, how hard is it to get to there at 5 a.m.? Not hard. You're right there. You wake up at 5, you go and you do amazing wildlife viewing in Lamoore Valley. But then also it's an interesting location because from there, it's not hard to drop down to Yellowstone,
to
the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone.
In a weird way, you're saying it's central in its own way.
It's not central, but it's like
there's a lot of cool stuff in two different directions.
Yeah. And then you go down. Okay, so you have to drive a ways to get down to the Old Faithful stuff, but you have to drive to get to anything.
There was like a post office there, right? Yes. I mean, like it really was like this was little old wild western city. Not city is a strong word, but
no, it was like, yeah, it was cute. It's like a little downtown. But I liked it up there. I just liked the feel of it and just kind of felt cool.
I agree 100%. And
I'd stay there.
I would never have thought like, oh, that's the place to stay, but I think I'm with you. And then you do drive, as you go into Lamoore Valley, you do pass the Roosevelt Lodge, which could be another cool option.
Small compared
really small.
To
wow, look, it's old.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of these places, like, see, we did go to every single place in person because we were like, we hadn't been there, and like, you know, you wanted to see in person the place. So Roosevelt Lodge was cool, but of course the tower, like that whole road was closed, so we couldn't do that. And then we drove out through Lamoore Valley,
I think,
and saw 3 billion bison.
It was 3 billion right by the car. I got amazing photos. Lamoore Valley was almost this sort of mystical, otherworldly section of the park. And I think for a lot of people that love Yellowstone, Lamoore Valley is the defining location, where in the more touristy sense, it's the lower loop and all that stuff we talked about. I think that, like, if you were to ask, like, a lot of park rangers or a lot of Yellowstone aficionados or photographers.
Yeah. Oh, if you watch any documentary, like it's all Lamoore Valley.
Because the wolves are there, the bison are there.
And also the fly fishing, right? You saw the fly fishermen and you saw where they were camping. There was like those, you know,
the little cabins and stuff.
So it was definitely.
I think that if you had a short trip to Yellowstone, you could be tempted to skip Lamoore Valley because it feels far away.
Well, I think it was like 2 hours away from where we were staying in West Yellowstone.
I was almost saying we should skip it.
I know. You were wrong about a lot of things. What did I make you do? Go to Lamoore Valley.
And it was my favorite part of Yellowstone. Because for our kids and our family, nothing beats seeing wildlife up close.
Wildlife.
I mean, the boys, if you're like, hey, guys, do you want to go hiking or do you want to go wildlife viewing in the car and try to find some bison? Like, okay.
Well,
that's what they want to do.
You know, they were a little down on Yellowstone compared to Glacier because they're the wild. We just did so much better
with
wildlife.
Let's be careful with that. They were loving it, but it was a disappointment.
They love wildlife.
Because Hayden Valley tanked the day before.
To like South Dakota. So compared to the wildlife that they saw in South Dakota and Glacier, they were like, meh.
I have heard many a person say that wildlife is better in South Dakota, meaning Badlands and Custer, than it is in Yellowstone. And that was certainly the case on our trip, that we saw significantly more wildlife in Badlands and Custer, counting them together, than we did in Yellowstone.
All right. My bottom line for this trip to Yellowstone is that there's a lot of pressure to feel like you can't do Yellowstone in a short amount of time, or, you know, it's almost like I felt like my takeaway was that you can go to Yellowstone and do the highlights and have an amazing experience.
And do the highlights and do a couple things that aren't the highlight. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we did
highlights extended.
It's not like
highlights
we were
extended.
Off the beaten path.
No, certainly not. And, yeah. and that would have been a whole different trip. But
yeah.
And here's the thing, like, in terms of going to a big national park like this for 7 days, I always have this anxiety that I'm going to go and feel like I didn't do it. I didn't get the park down. I didn't nail it. I don't really understand the park. I feel like we really got an amazing Yellowstone experience, and I don't want our listeners to take this the wrong way. I'm not in a rush to get back to Yellowstone. Do you know what I mean, Steph? Like, I mean, like, I don't need to go back to Yellowstone in the next 3 or 4 years after such a good trip. I mean, I want to go back. Don't get me wrong. In fact, I probably want to go back to Grand Teton.
You
more.
Always plan the next trip to that same place that we're at while we're there. You're always like,
oh, we're coming back.
We're coming back to Glacier.
I got myself a really good, healthy dose of Yellowstone. And I mean that in a very complimentary way, not saying the park let us down.
No, it was great.
Saying that,
and the kids had a great time. It was a wonderful 3 days in Yellowstone with kids.
And I think that part of the issue is it is not a hiking park. It is a park where you can tour it in a car, pull over and do a whole lot of stuff. Glacier is a whole other beast. There are some hikes. Yes. There are hikes in Glacier we did not do.
And we're desperate
that
to
I am
go back
dying
and do.
To go back yeah. and do.
All right. Well, anyway, we've got more coming up. We've got Cody. We've got Grand Teton National Park. And we had an amazing stay at Grand Teton, too, for 2 days in Grand Teton.
It's amazing they're so close together.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, like, if they were in two separate parts of the country, they'd each be magnificent destinations worth going to. And there they are sitting right next to each other.
All right. So we will be back to tell you about the rest of them. But till then, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Camp Spot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.